Do you you have coming up a rally in support of religious liberty? What needs to be done in your opinion to protect the religious liberties of American citizens?
Right. Well, as you know, Michael, religious liberty has been a deep passion of mine for many decades. Indeed, for two decades, the fight for religious liberty nationally. When I was the Solicitor General of Texas, we defended the Ten Commandments monument on the state capitol grounds, went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and won 5-4. We defended the Pledge of Allegiance, the words, one nation under God, went to the Supreme Court, won unanimously. And in private practice, I was very proud to defend the constitutionality of the Mojave Desert Veterans Memorial. I represented over 3 million veterans pro bono for free.
Yeah, I remember the federal government was terribly concerned, as were the ACLU, that that cross in the middle of the desert would somehow offend all the tortoises and hares that were romping around in the Mojave Desert.
You're exactly right, and the ACLU sued. And the federal court ordered that that 70-year-old monument to our soldiers who gave their lives in World War I had to be torn down. And it was a horrific decision, and I represented 3 million veterans before the Supreme Court defending that veterans memorial, and we won 5-4. So when it comes to this issue of religious liberty, it is the foundational liberty. It is the first right protected in the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, and it has never been more under assault than it is right now. And so this Friday in Iowa, we are having a religious liberty rally where we will have thousands coming together to honor the heroes across this country who have stood up and defended their faith and have faced government persecution, whether this is chaplains in the military up in Alaska, an Air Force chaplain posted on his blog that there are no atheists in foxholes, and he was reprimanded by a supervising officer. I mean, you almost can't make fun of this, Michael. It is so divorced from where we are as our history and a people. And by the way, the origin of that phrase, there are no more atheists in foxholes, came from an historic speech that President Dwight D. Eisenhower gave to the American Legion in 1954.
Okay, yesterday, Bob Menendez, who's the ranking Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, announced that he was joining Chuck Schumer and others against this deal. Your colleague Jeff Flake of Arizona, who had been on the other side, is also now opposed to it. Things seem to be moving in the right direction. Is there any chance, as you read the Senate, that you could get the 67 votes you would need to override the president's expected veto and to actually scuttle this terrible deal?
Well, I very much hope so. As you noted, Michael, this deal is catastrophic. The consequences, I think this deal poses the single greatest national security threat facing America today. And if the deal goes through, there are three consequences. Number one, the Obama administration will become the world's leading financier of radical Islamic terrorism, as billions of dollars will go directly to Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis and Islamic terrorists across the world, who will use those billions to murder Americans, to murder Israelis, to murder Europeans. Secondly, this deal abandons 4 American hostages in Iran. And thirdly, this deal only accelerates Iran acquiring meds to see. Chuck Schumer and Bob Menendez coming out publicly against it. I salute them and sing their praises, which is not something I do every day regarding Democrats.
That's true.
But when they do the right thing, I'm happy to do it every day for 100 days in a row if they keep doing the right thing. And as you know, Michael, you and I have talked about this before. There used to be a long tradition of Scoop Jackson Democrats, of Joe Lieberman Democrats, of John F. Kennedy Democrats, who were willing to defend national security and put that above partisan allegiances. And I hope we see the reemergence of Joe Lieberman and Scoop Jackson and John F. Kennedy Democrats. Chuck Schumer did a courageous thing, and he's paying a price for it in his party. I hope a number of other Democrats decide their responsibility to protect our national security, to stand with our friend and ally, the nation of Israel, and to protect the lives of millions of Americans is far more important than any partisan loyalty they might owe to the Obama White House. It will take a remarkable thing to defeat this terrible deal in Congress, because it will take a number of Democrats being willing to break with their party. But on my end, I'm doing everything humanly possible to energize and mobilize the American people to call on their elected officials to do exactly that.
One of the things that we're seeing with this deal is the need to at least find some members of the other party to work with. And that brings me to one of the big challenges against your campaign. Folks say that a successful president of the United States needs to be able to work with Congress. And that means working with the opposition in Congress as well as with your own party. You've had a tough time even working with your own party leadership in the Senate of the United States. A lot of people love you for it. What do you say about your ability as president to actually assemble coalitions and work, if necessary, across the aisle?
Well, Michael, I think what is critical is that we actually solve the real problems facing this country. I think our country is in crisis. We're bankrupting our kids and grandkids. Our constitutional rights are under assault. And America has receded from leadership in the world. And, you know, as you know, about a month ago, I came out with a new book called A Time for Truth, where I detail what is happening in Washington, and in particular, what I call the Washington Cartel. And the Washington Cartel I describe as career politicians get in bed with lobbyists and special interests and grow and grow and grow government. You know, the premise of your question is that the American people are looking for someone to go to Washington and essentially go along to get along, to keep the current direction of Washington going the same way.
No, that's not the premise of my question. The premise of my question is that the American people are looking for a president who can actually get things done.
Absolutely. But how do you get things done? There is the Washington way, which is you cut deals and grow government and enhance the power of Washington at the expense of citizens.
So what's the other way?
Or what you can do. The other way is to break the Washington cartel. And the model I will point to is 1980 and before. But if you think about it, in 78, 79, Reagan didn't go to Washington and sit down with the old bulls of the Senate and the House and try to convince Republicans, come on, guys, you got to stand for something. Remember, Reagan had primaried Gerald Ford in 76. You
sure
want to tick off Republican leadership. Come within an inch of toppling the incumbent Republican president at primary.
Yeah, but when Reagan was president, Senator, with all due respect, and I was very involved in the Republican Party at this time. Reagan worked with Dan Rostenkowski on tax reform. He worked with Bill Bradley. He worked with Tip O'Neill.
Sure.
Because the Democrats controlled the House of Representatives. Reagan would have accomplished nothing if he hadn't gotten the Democrats who controlled the House to go along with his tax cuts.
And of course that is right. But the way he got the Democrats to go along is Reagan first took the case to the American people. The people rose up in such overwhelming numbers that then elected politicians in Washington, wanting to keep their jobs, were willing to work with him. He didn't do the current Washington way of working with Harry Reid by surrendering on everything. He stood for principle and went to the American people. Now,
agreed.
I would note in my time in Congress, I've worked with a great many, actually, Democrats to get things done. When Iran named as their ambassador to the United Nations and to bar Abu Dhabi, another known terrorist, from coming to America, it passed the Senate 100-0. It passed the House of Representatives 435-0. And President Obama signed it into law. I worked with Bob Menendez, who you just mentioned, to pass legislation for the State Department, provide a $5 million reward for information leading to the capture of terrorists who had kidnapped three Israeli teenagers. That passed the Senate unanimously, and then thankfully we captured the terrorist, or Israel did, before the House could take it up. So I'm perfectly happy to work with anybody if we are solving the real problems. The problem, Michael, is there are far too many people in Washington, particularly Republicans, whose first option is surrender your principles and grow government.
And that's not Ted.